Hi, my name is Allison Pedrocielo, and I'm a gender and migration researcher and PhD candidate in global governance at Wilfrid Laurier University's Balsillie School of International Affairs and a research affiliate of the International Migration Research Center. I've been collaborating with the Building Migrant Resilience in Cities Partnership through the Kitchener-Waterloo City Network for the last 3 years, in collaboration with our co-PIs, Dr. Jenna Hennebry, Margaret Walton-Roberts, and Tara Bedard of the Local Immigrant Partnership. So here in the Kitchener-Waterloo City Network, our research aims to understand the relationship between gender and resilience among migrants with a temporary permit or who are seeking asylum in the region of Waterloo. The Government of Canada has committed to making gender-based analysis a central component of the policy cycle, and it's working with within government and also within its grantees, including immigrant-serving organizations, to build capacity on how to do this, on how to examine how gender, sex, and various intersecting identity factors impact the effectiveness of government initiatives, including immigration and settlement. So this is in line with the guiding principle of gender responsiveness, which is called for in the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, which Canada adopted in 2018. So this principle of gender responsiveness applies at all levels of governance, from global governance of migration to federal policymaking to provincial planning and on down to local service provision and the migrants who experiences as they navigate these. So the main policy question is about how gender affects the capacity to respond to change and overcome challenges both among individual migrants and their families in the region of Waterloo, and also the institutions that support them. So our end goal is to inform programming so that it is gender responsive as called for in the Global Compact and also by Women and Gender Equality Canada. In terms of our main findings, well, we know that gender has a bearing on migrants' entry to Canada, their access to services, and how they cope with challenges to their full and equal participation in society. The project identified challenges that affect temporary migrants because of their gender and status, among other factors. And when we refer to temporary migrants, we are focusing on the experiences of migrants entering with temporary permits. So these could be international students, high-skilled workers, those qualified as low-skilled workers, caregivers, or people seeking asylum who are looking to transition to permanent residence. So the term temporary can be misleading in this regard, as many of us do seek to make Canada our permanent home, myself included. So the settlement system has been set up to foster the integration of those with PR on arrival. Yet for many years now, more people are entering on temporary permits and then making this transition. So during these crucial years of being categorized as temporary, many supports that are available to Canadian and permanent resident families are simply out of reach for those whose existence is circumscribed by this notion of temporariness. We found that while some gender responsive programming exists, it needs to be made more accessible and relevant to these groups of people. So again, students, high and low skilled workers, caregivers, asylum claimants. So some examples include lack of eligibility for settlement support, childcare subsidy, and other services for temporary migrants. And this creates a disproportionate burden on women. Yet nonetheless, these same women who are unable to employment, for example, because of their childcare responsibilities, they end up assuming important roles in their families and in their communities. So they're fostering family and community resilience and essentially filling in these gaps. So what are the lessons learned? There are several, and we highlight just a few in the Research Digest, which is being launched. Affordable housing, for one, is a challenge for temporary migrants, especially for single parent households that are disproportionately female-headed. Access to social assistance for low-income families with children is limited for those with temporary status. And asylum claimants are ineligible for the Canada Child Tax Benefit until their claims are recognized. And then they are eligible for the transition child benefit. Many rely on this, and this was eliminated and then temporarily restored in 2019. International students, for example, have to wait 18 months to receive Canada child tax benefit, and temporary migrant parents cannot receive child care subsidy for their children. So access to these forms of assistance allows both parents to work if they want to or study. And in our sample, the parent who stayed home with their children was usually the mother if the family couldn't afford daycare. So we would like to see increased provincial funding for housing, as well as an increase in the transition child benefit for refugee claimants annually to match inflation. We'd also like to see expanded access to social assistance for families with children. So this would include waiving the 18-month waiting period for the child tax benefit and making subsidy available for childcare for temporary migrants. So we need to ensure that children, regardless of the status of their parents, receive adequate and timely support upon arrival to Canada. Another lesson learned has to do with gender-based violence, which was a cause of migration and also an experience during and after migration for several of our study participants. Yet only 12% of women were aware of gender-based violence. And two men discussed the challenges of living in a society where expressing frustration or disciplining family members by hitting them was not acceptable. So more gender-responsive programming is needed to support families as they adapt to the Canadian legal system and cultural norms as part of these broader efforts to prevent gender-based violence. And finally, a good practice that we noted in Kitchener-Waterloo was that gender-responsive programming on reproductive health was being offered at community centers, and it was reaching many women because it was offered at a time that coincided with children's after-school activities. And outreach workers, many of whom are more experienced and sometimes de-skilled migrant women who are unable to find employment in their profession, play a crucial role in making this programming accessible to more recent newcomer women. So again, filling in the gaps. We commend these efforts. We would like to see more women able to exercise the profession and do skills matching. We would like to see continued gender-responsive community-based programming. And here I'd like to flag that this doesn't exclusively focus on women. Rather, it takes into account different experiences of men, women, and gender-diverse individuals and their impacts on migrant resilience. Listen to social workers who recommended consulting with newcomer men as well to identify relevant gender-responsive programming that could pique their interest and serve their needs. And finally, we would like to encourage immigrant-serving organizations to complete the federal government's gender-based analysis or GBA plus training to continue building their capacity to make this kind of gender-based analysis second nature as they conduct needs identification, design programs, and evaluate their effectiveness.